right, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the XSF podcast. You got me, your host, Devontae, and we got host Lou. Say what up to him, Lou.
What's happening?
Stoic as ever. Today, we dove into me and Lou's, or Lou and I's, experience in the military. Lou was a Marine, and I was in the Army. So we kind of dove into what our basic looked like, all these things, and after basic, how we felt, and what our biggest takeaway was from it all. Make sure you listen in, and if we got any military people out there, hit us up. We'd love to chat. Now, before we get to the episode, let's give a shout out to our sponsors, Lou. Shout out to Third Lair Skate Park and Skate Shop. We love you all. Thank you, guys. And also, shout out to Monte Coso Skateboards. Hey, keep going. Let's get it going. Keep it grinding. Let them know what's up, Lou.
Yeah, we're going to shout out Batch Roasting Co. Phenomenal coffee out in Brooklyn. BatchRoastingCo.com and Batch Roasting Co. on Instagram. Check them out for some delicious coffee. That's some phenomenal humans.
Hit them with the discount code.
Oh, L-Bomb, L-B-O-M-B, at checkout for 15% off of your entire order. That's L-B-O-M-B at checkout for 15% off of your entire order.
Boom. All right, everybody. Enjoy.
You know what? That's the thing. What was your boot camp like? And then I'll go through what my boot camp was like. Because I was...
Okay. So my
I was in the Maroons.
At least I was a combat engineer, bro. I wasn't like some foo-foo.
You sign up. You know what I mean? But I hate you. Like, because there was people sign up.
I hate all the Marines too, dude. Wait, well, I was okay. So real quick, my basic training. So you asked me about like my boot camp or what we call it is basic training, and then we go to our MOS training, right? So my luck, I went to basic training in Missouri at Fort Leonard Wood, Fort Lawson in the Woods. And that is Fort actually...
MOS is like a job.
It's like your,
right?
Your primary job. Yes, yeah, correct. It's so it's like your primary job in the military. I actually had two. So I had my primary and my secondary as a combat engineer. So I went in as a 12 Charlie. So that's a bridge crew member building like... It's actually pretty sick, bro. I used to drive these like boats and shit, and we'd like hook up the little bay pieces and you'd bring it to another bay, and you'd have people on the bays in the water putting together this bridge, and then we would maneuver it across rivers and down lakes and stuff to get people to the other side. It was pretty sick. But that came
way pretty after. Fire.
Yeah, bro. We'll talk that's about more of that. Fire. But Fort Leonard, Missouri. That's where I did basic. When did I go? It was August when I left. So I got to experience
how long was basic?
So basic's 3 months, and then AIT, which is like the school for your MOS, is another. Mine was another 4 months, but some people have like 2 years worth of that, depending on what you're going into.
What was it like in boot camp?
So for me, yeah, I know that's the first thing you asked me too. I went on a whole tangent right off the rip. It was for me, it was a time for me to instill discipline in my life. So I went into it with a little bit different mindset, I think, than a lot of the other 18-year-olds did. You know, coming from, and you've heard it, and I've told you many times my story, and wanting to leave the life I was living and start something different. Going to basic, I knew I didn't, not that my mom is a badass mom. She whooped my ass when she had to. Don't get me wrong, but she also just had to work two jobs, right? She wasn't able to be around to instill that discipline necessarily. And I also didn't have my dad around, all these other things, right? So, quick water break. I went into it with that mindset, and it was actually kind of fun. You know, for me, it was fun because...
Like, what kind of stuff did you guys do?
Yeah, so that's what I was just going to get into. So for me, like being a kid growing up, like, you know, when you're little, you're like, I'm going to be in the Army, like whatever. Like, I feel like every little boy says that at some point, at least I know I did. And it was literally like everything you kind of see, like in the basic training things, like you're like, we're, so the first week is kind of fun because it's like you're just running in and you're getting yelled at by all the drill sergeants, you know, like they're putting on that big front. Because okay, so I don't know about you, when we went to a building and we had to stay at this building to kind of like all checked in and stuff for like a whole week, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that you get on the bus. That's when I knew like some of these people weren't gonna make it, because it was just like as soon as the drill sergeant showed up, it was just yelling and screaming in their face, and like some kids were already like backing up and stuff, and I was just like, all right, cool, this is how it's gonna be, because I wasn't good at people getting in my face and yelling at me, so it was like a whole different switch I had to put on. And then when we got down to it, it was a lot of ruck marching the first week, like literally like little mile ruck marches to get like people used to it and stuff, you know, you go up this hill, come back down. I was just like, all right, cool. I didn't think it was that bad, right? And it was just like, that's kind of what we did. And then we kind of like learned, you know, the rules of the army and stuff, right? Did you know it's illegal to have, you only can have missionary sex? Bro, did you know that? That's, bro.
You want to know why I made that comment earlier about being in the Marines, son?
Bro, that they tried to tell us that, and everybody in there died laughing. Mind you, we're like not even in the army yet, like laughing, and the sergeants up front were just like, dude,
where does that even come from? Imagine, I don't know. Imagine like your early on generals making these rules, whoever the fuck is making these rules, and we're like, yeah, you know what?
Guarantee you,
we can only let these people fuck. Yeah,
walked in on his wife doing it with somebody else in a different position.
In every position. Yeah. It was quick. He was traumatized. He opened the door slowly and he didn't say anything. They didn't even notice because they were really going at it. And he just sat there like traumatized. This. So he saw every position but missionary. And he was like, oh, no one can do anything. Only,
that's probably all they did at home. It was only him and her did that. So it was like
through a sheet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so back on topic. No, so that was the first week, right? It was just a lot of like, it seemed like it was, I mean, the physical part was easy for me just from coming from I skated for 6 hours a day leading up until that point. Like I went to online school, got kicked out of online school, got my GED. Like I was kicking it. Like I didn't have to worry about nothing.
So like the physicality for you wasn't much. What kind of physical shit? What was that?
That's what I was going
to say. For a day-to-day in like the first month.
Okay, so the first month, right? So it kind of got pretty it changed here and there, but really what do? Wake up, right? You go out, you salute the flag. First thing you do, right? And
how do you wake up?
I was just going to say, first 2 weeks, bro, somebody was coming in, wake up, boom, just keep one time, dude. I was like, so luckily, like the door was at the end of the hall and I was down here because it was alphabetical order. So I was like, fuck yes. And they would always come in this one door and he kicked this kid's bunk and it went flying into another kid because it was like those roll bunks, you know, where you could like open it up, all your shit went inside and then you had the little locker and stuff. And he kicked it, went flying, and everybody just jumped up, got ready. And that's how it was for like the first 2 weeks. And they did it sporadically throughout the rest of the time. And then we'd wake up, go outside, salute the flag, and then you have PT. So we'd do PT. Usually it was just a bunch of running, a bunch of pull-ups and sit-ups and push-ups. That's about it. And then from there, we'd go to chow hall. You'd go, depending on the time frame, we'd go to chow hall from PT or back up, change, get ready for our day. And then to chow hall, you'd eat breakfast. That was the funniest thing, bro. When you're in chow hall line, like the first, you know, like they're trying to be really intimidating, especially like the first day. Like I remember the first day, like they were literally screaming in kids' faces and they were like knocking their trays over and stuff because they couldn't handle it. I was just like, oh my God, dude, just go sit down. Like it was just so funny. But yeah, that was pretty much from there. We'd go to then our training for the day. So that changed pretty sporadically. Like I remember we had like some obstacle courses, you know, like team building exercises the first week, mm-hmm. Which we failed miserably at, bro. And I'm not gonna lie, I was definitely no fucking help because I was just like that. And I didn't play team sports. I skateboarded my whole life. I never did team stuff. So that was something I had to learn to do a lot better, which I did learn to do. But that was the first week. It was just team building stuff, like helping somebody get through like this weird obstacle thing without touching the ground. Sure, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So then, so you were in there for 3 months, right?
Yeah. So
did it like progressively change over the months? Like
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. So for us, it went from kind of learning. Like the first month was learning the basics of like teamwork, all that stuff. Your phonetic alphabet, right? So all the little things, and then your gun, right? So you got issued your gun, and then. So you had your M4 and really you just learned to disassemble and reassemble it, right? That was like the first month that we'd go shoot. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 3 weeks, but it was around the end of that first month. And then the second month was focused on kind of like the basics of combat, right? So then you'd get into shooting more. We got into combatives, which was hella fun because I came from like wrestling when I was in middle school and all that stuff and just like loving that side of things. And then that's also when we got into medical stuff. That's what we did that month. And then we'd go on like these missions. I forgot exactly like what the point of it was sometimes, but they're low key so fun. Cause it was like, we'd go out into a fob, right? Like it was like this pretend fob had like a little wire base around it. And you had like either a tent, or one time we had like these little buildings and you had to like make a fire in it and stuff. But like what you do then is you'd pretend as if, you know, that's where you're running like your mock missions. You're acting as if you're deployed at that point. You know, stuff's a lot more strict than if you're just at like back at good old base camp than going out for the day. So we're there, staying there for like a week. We did that a couple times. And then, oh, bro, we had this one the last month. That's when like stuff got really fun because we got to throw grenades. That's when we qualified for shooting. We had a combatives tournament, which your boy won for my weight class.
Of course, just, naturally.
Oh, and Pugles, bro. Pugles was fun as hell, bro. Just bow, bow, just hitting people. Did you guys do that?
Yeah, it was dope. Of course we did. So, what was the relationship like with the, what did you guys call them?
Drill sergeants.
What was the relationship like with them?
For me, it was tight. So,
like, how did they act towards everyone? Like, what was...
So that's the thing, though. So, like, there was a couple different ones, right? So, like, we had our own platoon within, like, the boys' section. Like, you'd have, like, your own, like, the boys stayed one side, girls stayed one side. So you had, like, the female drill sergeants, and then you had the male drill sergeants. And then we'd all come together in our platoons, right, and when we came to formation. And each platoon had a drill sergeant. So my drill sergeant was Sergeant Furlough, bro, and he was the G. So he's this black dude from Chicago, used to be a gangbanger and all this stuff. And he'll tell everybody this, like he doesn't care. He'll tell you straight up where he came from. And at first, bro, scariest dude. I mean, like this dude, he kind of reminds, he's big, bro. Like he's about like your height, but he's just jacked. Like this is freaking this huge dude. And he was super hard on everybody at first, right? Installing that, like, hey, I'm the head dude around here. Mm-hmm. Like, don't mess up, whatever. Give me respect. And once you learn that, and you gave him that respect, and you just kind of like did your thing. You could joke around with him. You could do all this stuff. But the second somebody stepped out of line, different story. And that was the thing, though. Like, he would do it, but in like, you only could go so far, right? Because like, some kids would try to push it, and then they'd just be getting fucking smoked. Like he was getting fucking push-ups all day till they puke and shit like that. And there was one time he messed us up pretty good. Some kids went out. Did you guys ever get to go out, like when you did yours, when you were in basic? Like, did you get to go
to the store? The Marine Corps basic I went through was night and day difference compared to what you've got in that boot camp. Honestly, it was like we didn't talk, like really discuss things with the drill instructors as humans until like after the Crucible almost. Like during the Crucible is when they finally started talking to us like humans.
Well, that was just the mine. That's week. What I was saying. Like, that was just mine. The other ones, like, they were all pretty hard. Like, I didn't know any of those that really like that, but I wasn't like, they weren't mine.
Yeah, I mean, like, the waking up was fucking like, shit, things were everywhere, and you were waking up doing up downs in the fucking sandbox.
Yeah, forever. We used to, like, they, I mean, they used to wake us up.
Some wild shit.
They used to make us like just go out and we didn't have a sandbox. We had like one of those tire pits. You'd have to fucking just crawl through that and get just tire all up in your nose and shit and like go back and forth. And you'd just
you ever shower that. Under one shower head with 30 naked dudes, 42 naked dudes?
No, I've
under the blistering heat. Yeah, no. Dude, it was fucking insane. Like,
yeah,
one kid got hung up by the rafters and beat with the guidon stick. Shane felt it. Like,
dang.
But go ahead, keep going. Yeah, dude, it was wild. But so when you finished though, like when you're getting out, what was that? Like, what was the like a ceremony? Like, what was that? You know.
So that was what I was gonna say. That was probably one of the coolest things because it was like. It started with us doing this one of those missions, right? So we were out for like we were out for like 3 weeks at this point. And it was rounding toward the time, like we knew by the date, like, hey, we got to be going back soon. Like we're supposed to be graduating soon. Like what the hell? So then we go on this mission one night. We take a bus to like the middle of nowhere. We're in Fort Leonard Wood. So like we have all these woods. They just drive around and we don't know where we are. So then we get dropped off and they're like, okay, they give us our objective, right? So we start going through the objective and it gets kind of tight at the end because then all of a sudden, like we get to this part where it's like everybody had to run and grab their grenades and you had to chuck them over this thing. Once they exploded, we all jumped up and started running. And literally, dude, it was just like obviously a mock war zone, but they had, what are they called? The tracer bullets or whatever, like where they'd shoot, it literally was the same sound. You'd see it, but it couldn't do anything. They were shooting those over our heads and stuff. We were crawling through barbed wire and all that, like going, it was like a mile long thing we had to go through. Like there's all these obstacles. You had to duck down, make sure you could save somebody here and you know, all this stuff. And you had like your one battle buddy you're going with at this point. And so then you get done. And you get to the end and you bust through this building and then all of a sudden, like you go through the other side and there's this like big open field and they had like this sick, like old school, not like tiki torches, but like these big wood things that represented something. And then there's a big circle one. And then like every soldier who they just like randomly chose soldiers and they like went and lit them here and there. And then everybody lit them and then they lit the middle one. And then we, pretty much stood there while the drill sergeants gave a speech and stuff. And then they told us to try better and make sure we do good at AIT, not like we did here. And then it was pretty much like that. And then we actually got smoked right after that because I thought it'd be funny to make us just fucking go crawl back through the mud and do push-ups in it. But at that point, honestly, I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. Yeah. Like I was like in my head, you know, I'm not showing I'm having fun, but low key, I was having fun. It was just like,
well, what about after boot camp? What was that like for you?
So AIT was weird, dude. So that's like your MOS. So like that's where you'd go.
Oh, it's like your MOS school?
Yeah. Yep. So like if you're a combat medic, you'd go to your combat medic school, you know, whatever. And
I was a
bridge crew member. So like I was saying earlier, my luck, I went to basic training in Missouri and also boom. Had to go at AIT in Missouri and got stationed there for 3 years. So they're like, yeah, dude, we're doing it good to you. And it was like high school in my eyes. Like it was just weird, like the drama between like soldiers and stuff, like because it was a lot looser at this point, right? Like we had to we got our phones a month into that, and then like we were able to go out. I think like if we didn't mess up, we were able to go out, right? So if you messed up, people got in trouble, like all of our stuff got taken away, you know, pretty much like you're a little kid again. But it was interesting because we didn't have the hard drill sergeants anymore. They kind of switched up at this point, right? Because now for us being at Fort Leonard Wood and having our MOS be combat engineers, like that's where the combat engineers go. So all the drill sergeants were combat engineers. So they were actually, we didn't know this, our AIT sergeants as well. So they kind of transferred over and like switched to like this totem. Obviously, I was telling, like I said earlier, Furlough was, he was already pretty kind of chill with us. But at this point, it was pretty tight. Like I said, you messed up. You still were getting smoked. You still had to go outside in the rain, do a bunch of stuff. You know, that's just what it was. You had to learn if you mess up, like there's consequences for it. They're really just trying to teach you that. That's all it was. And this was the fun part because we got to learn how to build our bridges, blow up like C4, you know, actually learn how to run actual explosives and stuff like that, and then actually start to tie knots some more. Like for us, so I don't know about you. So you know, like we have Rangers in the Army and stuff. Well, the engineers mm-hmm. also have sappers, which is kind of like a. To me, it's the Ranger of engineers, right? So
it's
pretty much the dudes who are the most versed in demolition. And we got to go to like a mock little school for that for a little bit. Because like I was saying, our secondary MOS was just a combat engineer, like straight up combat engineer, which is 12 Bravo. So we got to learn a lot of that, like I was saying with the C4. So it was pretty cool because I was seeing what it could have been, you know, but then, you know, you graduate and you get to your duty station and you don't really do a lot of that stuff as much anymore. So, but no, it was tight, man. Like that's where I learned to drive like the big old CBT truck, you know, like the big common bridge transporter. I know y'all have like the same truck. It's the big old box in the front and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's where we learned to drive that. We learned how to drop the bays in the water, drive the boats, hook up the boats, you know, build everything. We had this one bridge called a, what was it called, dude? I can't even remember, but it was just huge, like big metal beams. You had to have like 10 soldiers lifted at once to put it together and all that. That was pretty cool because that was if like a road was blown up, right? We're on deployment. Hey, here, boom, pop this in. Now we can get across and stuff like that. But it was cool. I guess it was tight. It was a lot more interesting, and you definitely could learn more there. I guess the other one was more like, hey, just don't be a dumbass. And I just had to learn to have like a little bit more discipline in myself. Like, all right, I don't need to be doing all the crap I was doing every day. I literally, dude. And like the thing is, I went in. And that's where I got my love for fitness too. I mean, like I loved fitness in a way, right? I skated my whole life and all that stuff. But for me, this is where I fell in love with the process of getting better at things on that side. So like I was 130 pounds when I went into the Army, dude.
Damn.
Same height.
Yeah,
same
height,
dude. Take 30 pounds, pretty much straight muscle off my frame, bro. Like I was a twig. Like I know I'm not big. I'm not saying I'm big, but I was small. And went in, we took that first PT test, right? Like the one to test out where we were. Luckily my ass could run, bro. And I could do a lot of sit-ups. Like that was cake, right? Like just my core and endurance was up there from skating. So push-ups, dude. I think I got like 25 in 2 minutes. And like we have to hit 45, I believe is what the number was in 2 minutes, right? I barely hit 25 too, bro. I remember I was like
45 in 2 minutes.
Yeah, bro. I mean, no, that's just the minimum. That's the minimum though. That's the minimum to pass. Yeah, like you could get scores. Like I would always get 100 and everything after I like got out of AIT. So. But yeah, bro, so the run was 2 miles. I think you had to get that in under 18 minutes or something like that to like not fail. I got it in like 11:45, I believe, when I was in AIT, and then we got out, started smoking cigarettes and shit like everybody else fucking does, and and then couldn't run that anymore. But push-ups, that's when I would learn. I was like, hey, I'm gonna start doing push-ups every night, and that's when I would literally go by my bunk, but when lights went out, and I would just do push-ups. I would do sets of push-ups, dude. I would do different ones where I was going slow, and this is before like I really knew anything about fitness at all, like training, anything. I didn't really learn anything at this point, and like I started learning in the Army, but I was like, all right, cool, this is tight, and I got better at it, and then I ended up getting a 300 PT score at the end of everything, so I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. That felt good. But yeah, how about you, dog? How was your basic? Sounds like it was a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, it was 3 months. The first month was just literally beating you the fuck down. Like, they just stripped you of everything. Mm-hmm. Of thought, even like it's almost
honestly,
like the first
like,
month we didn't really
did
talk.
A lot of shit, but I sure was bad, dude.
Well, they didn't really like let us, not that they didn't let us, yeah, you didn't really talk much. Like, you get smacked up for looking at an airplane, like, you know what I mean? Like,
for like taking your eyes up,
literally, your body didn't move, but if your eyes looked at the airplane, you got caught, you got fucked up. Like, one time I had to run up and down four flights for forever because I did that. I just looked at the airplane, you know, like, it was wild.
Yeah, like, I guess, yeah, they did have a stand, like, if we were standing in line, like, if you couldn't, you couldn't move and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, the first month was straight up just beating you to fuck. The first, like, once you got dropped off by the taxi.
So, where did you go?
South Carolina, Paris Island, South Carolina. So, what happens, you go to the airport, and a cab driver picks you up that's set up ready, and he does this all the time. So, he's, like, letting you know the whole time how fucked up it's going to be. Then you get to a bus that's waiting for you right outside, and you get on the bus, and the second the bus stops, it's mayhem. It's pure mayhem until about... I don't even know when it stops. And then you get like these box lunches and shit. You got to do all the processing. When you get there, you call your parents or whoever the fuck you're calling. And you just read a thing off the list. And you just want the second, you, like, it's just like, this is private or whatever the fuck they're calling you at that point. Cause you were just a maggot right first. And like you say real quick that you can't say anything else. You hang up the phone and like, that's it. And like, now you're into the fucking gusto, bro. Like, and it's just the shaving of the head happens ASAP, the fucking clothes, or the whole process getting all that. And then you go in, you get to your fucking, your platoon with like, on your, like your deck and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's just fucking insane. You get introduced to your two kill hats. And then, well, at least I had two kill hats who were just psychopaths. Like their whole job was just to be psycho.
Is that like
there
the drill sergeants, I'm assuming?
We had four drill instructors and two of them were called kill hats. Their only job is to be insane and fucking scream at you and just be absolute, just insane. There's no other purpose. Yeah. And then we had a heavy who was a kill hat with more prestige. Like he just walked in the room and demanded like you just stop. He was, and he happened to be like the prototypical Marine too, dude. This fucking guy, he one time when he was over there in war, he ripped off a steel door off the hinges and carried it to protect his people with him, his platoon with him. Mm-hmm. Like he was a legend, and his chiseled jaw, he was 33 and he looked like he was 50, bro. It was insane. He's like, this is what war does to you. It was wild. Like when we finally had to talk to him and shit after Crucible, like as humans and ask him questions. But so we had him, and then we get introduced to our, senior drill instructors. Yes, the senior drill instructor who's the more level-headed one. He'll come in and give peace after we're getting fucked up. You want to talk about fucked up? One time we were doing some drill and people just kept fucking up. And because again, the first month was entirely basically just beating you the fuck down. Sunday you'd get to people that weren't religious. I wasn't religious. I was going to church just to get the fuck away from them and not and like see people that wasn't screaming at me for 5 seconds, you know? And that was only for an hour on Sundays. And that was it. And like where we had to go to church in South Carolina was fucking, you'd have so many mosquitoes all over you, and if you killed a mosquito, you just killed a mosquito from Paris Island, who's right there, has more rights than you already, because you're not even considered anything yet. Yeah. Then, like, month two is when, like, a little bit more of the show, like, teaching the Marine ways and all that starts to come in, but the first month is straight up beat them the fuck down, like, as much, in any way you could think. They, like, mentally, they'd fuck with people, like, just whisper things in people's ear, like, the only time I ever seen a drill instructor back down is when they took this Bible from a kid, and the kid had the fear, the force of God in him, bro. He literally said, "Give me back my Bible," and the drill instructor was like, "What did you say?" Like, I said, and he got like loud. He just gave it back to him because like that's really not something you're supposed to do. But I mean, they they couldn't deny you food, but they'd be like, we would sit down for chow when the guide. Because the guy was the last to sit. He would sit down and he'd go, all right, everyone get up. He wouldn't even get to eat because everyone was fucking around. So, like, that was like week one. So, every day after that, everyone ate like this, like mad.
Bro, downing meals in three minutes, gone.
Because they thought that shit was going to happen constantly. And then, in the second month, they started, like, we started shooting and learning all that shit, and like those were more breaks. That was cool because you're not getting screamed at by those guys, but you already had the respect, like you already had the fear, you already understood. Like the first month, you really kind of started to have hatred towards the people if you had that type of idea with it. Like I personally knew what I was getting into, and I loved that shit. Like
that's
I was
it,
actually,
bro. That's,
yeah,
that's
I loved
why
it.
I like I feel like I explain it, and it's like I don't do it justice because I know we went through a lot, but like to me, I was like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, and like. So then, that was, like, the second month. But, like, Then the third month, you're even more, you start doing like ironing up clothes and stuff like that, and like getting into all that, like really being more of a marine, like, you know. But yeah, throughout the whole thing too, yeah, throughout like the whole thing too, like when we do like the McMap Marine Corps martial arts, I loved it because like I, you know, you're hitting people, and so a lot of kids would just not put effort, and my heavy was like, yo, you're going to fucking war, you really think they're not going to try to kill you? So he'd, so I'd be into it. So they'd be Obama to go knock this motherfucker out and just be screaming Metallica lyrics in my ear, because something dope that happened is one time we were online screaming I Surf for like 45 minutes, and they just kept going Scream Like James, because the two, the heavy and the senior, happened to be huge Metallica fans, me too. So I started going nuts, and they go, Bombardier, get in the office or whatever. So I go, I Sir. I'm like, yo, talk to us like a human for a second. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, who's James? I'm like, James Hetfield, the lead singer of Metallica. They're like, all right, get the fuck out. And it was just like this thing. Then I became like a guy, a squad leader and shit. Yeah, and like, yeah, that was dope, because it taught me this. I have this obviously natural way of leading, in the sense that like, my squad got to the top because of the way I went about it, where I was like, listen, I want to know everything about all you. Because I listened to this one gunny. This one gunny was like, when you have a squad, you want to know everything about them. So I was like, yep, all right. So then I sat down on our free time, which we get an hour of free time a night, right? But only like, I would say 3 or 4 hours out of the whole month, at least the first month, if that, we'd actually get free time. Because what the senior with the heavies, with the kill hats would do, would at, let's say the free time was from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, that was like your shower time and stuff and all that.
Yeah, you shower, you get to write letters, you get to actually hang out. Like, you can't be doing anything stupid, obviously, but you're just literally chilling. You can do things if they let it be free time. But most of the time, it would be like, yo, at 6:58, everyone pick up their fucking their treasure chest thing. I can't think of the proper term, but they're like treasure chest. You kept all your shit, all your shit. And now dump it up. First of all, pass it around, and now dump it upside down. Mix all that shit together. Now for this hour, you're going to find all your shit and make sure that it's back in the bunk the way it should be. Otherwise, you're getting fucked up first thing in the morning. So it was like, all right. Like, so that would happen a lot of times. And it was fucking wild. And like, if you didn't get out of bunk in the morning and dressed at a certain rate with everyone online, you got fucked. Like, it was just literally any excuse,
dude, that's a guarantee,
to fuck anyone up. But it was like trying to almost like make you lose trust in anything the first month, because like it was no matter what they said. And then we did some gangster shit too, like with towards like the third month is when we started going into the woods and like doing things like you were saying. And then like, and like when I brought up that thing about Schanfelter and getting beat, like we were on this thing when we were in the woods for one whole week, because that's what was cool too. Like, so it was the second and third months, you'd have whole weeks of doing things, you know? So it was kind of like, oh, you know, you're not getting beat this fucking today, because they can't, because we have to actually learn some shit. You know what I mean? And so we go out like to the woods for a week in like these like little hut things or whatever the fuck. And like there's one kid, Shanfield, and he could take it too. That's probably why they did it even too. It was like, one time the heavy's like, yo, get in the car or something. And so he like, he opens the door and just speeds away. So he, the kid's hanging onto the door as he's driving away. That's when we were able to laugh, and they would actually kind of laugh with us a little bit. One time, this kid Schanfelter, because he was just a stunad, but he was a Marine. Like, he was moldable as fuck and would do anything he said, but he was fucking stunad. Like, he was a little wacky. And he fucking, he one time did some shit, and literally they hung him upside down on his knees by the rafters and started beating him with a guidon stick. And it was like funny, because we all knew he could take it, and he was like laughing about it because he was weird like that. And it was just, it was fun. It was nuts, bro. And like one time, like I was saying, they dropped over the trunks and shit. So clothes would obviously get mixed up. We had this kid Ruiz, who was actually shorter than me. He was like 4'12". Well, that would be 5 foot. So he was like 4'10", 4'11", right? And he, 5 foot, whatever. And his shorts are obviously really small. So Schanfelter was like 6 foot, 6'1". They mixed their shorts up. And this kid Schanfelter happened to have a piece on him, and it was hanging out of his shorts because he was wearing 5 foot tall Schanfelter shorts. And it just so happened that the captain was coming around that day. So we're all in line at attention to the gills, trying our hardest not to laugh hysterically, right? Because this kid's piece is hanging out. Full mushroom, everything. Like, it was huge. The thing was almost at his knee already. Like, he had, we were fucking whipped. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely beat people in the head accidentally when we all had to go shower under the
dude,
30,
tell me why there was that one kid. I swear there was one kid I had too, just fucking, just a do? Like a piece.
That's Shanfelt.
Like,
that was Shanfelt, bro. So he's waiting online with his piece hanging out. And the captain just gets to him and he's like, your shorts, they're a little small. He's like, I got him. He's like, or I think it was actually still I, sir, at that point because we weren't considered Marines yet. So we couldn't even go in that like respectful fashion of how you're supposed to talk. We weren't even Marines till after the crucible. So I think it was just I, sir. But, and like, he's just like, how'd this happen? And he's like, I messed up shorts with the recruit Ruiz. Yeah, I think we're still recruits right now. Mm-hmm. Recruit Ruiz. And it was just fucking, and like the senior instructor's like, might want to fix that, huh? Gee, this laundry, when you guys do your laundry, you got to get better at it. Because when the captains came around, they'd be like, didn't hit you, did they? You eat all your meals, you have time to eat. Like, so you'd be waiting online, and the skill hat would just take his piece, his fucking M4, and just beat someone with it, just for whatever reason, and just look at him. Like, what, you going to say something? And like, one dude, oh, man, homie. This kid, Rainer, that I was in, he killed himself later on.
Oh, man.
R.I.P. Rainer. R.I.P., man. Sorry to get a little bit upset about it, but what happens. But he, damn, that's fucked up. But anyway, he got hit so hard. Just the look he gave the drill instructor was like, why? And like, it was just, like, it was funny shit like that, how wild it was, you know what I mean? Yeah. But then we had the Crucible, which was basically 3 days of what you said earlier, like, 3 days of almost a mock war. Like, you start out being dropped off somewhere and you go through some war. First you march there like 3 miles, and over the 3 days, if you're a squad leader, you get very minimal sleep because you're watching the squad, you know. So like you go over all that and then you just go through some wild stuff. Like the closest I ever came to just losing consciousness without being on drugs or something weird wild like that was when we had to do like this crawl through, like you were explaining, with straight scream. You'd hear like babies screaming, fucking women screaming, people dying. Like it was, you know, the straight trippy, mop. Yeah, dude. Guns to all that. And you had to carry like a 180-pound dummy. And honestly, you might have to carry. You might have had to carry somebody. No, I think everyone had to complete this, so you just had to carry a dummy. In practice, would be different, but so you had to carry like a dummy, and you had to get it all the way out. And I never when I got out of the barbed wire, and I just went upside down on my back. And grabbed my canteen and my water in the mouth, and I was like, and I felt a little life and got up. And like, finally, at the very, and what was cool about my platoon's crucible is it actually wasn't as annoying as other platoons, because the platoon I was in just happened to be the most beat the fuck platoon, to the point where when we'd be like marching past other platoons, like we were 3042, so let's say 3041 was like, yo, that's 3042. You don't want to go with them. Their drill instructors beat the shit out of them all the time. Like, we were literally known for that. And we loved it after we got over it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of kids were punching at it. But then, like, then it became, like, that thing. So when we graduated, we really felt like, yo. And, like, that was the wildest part is, like, after 3 days of insane amount of stuff, you, like, we had to walk. I think that was the march was 3 or 5 miles back to the parade deck, and when you find, I mean, people to bleed, they're just, it was just like you're just destroyed at that. Like, how you even, you know, and then you stand there, and then they give you your eagle blow up an anchor. You know, some kids are crying.
Yeah, tell me, ended ours was like that ruck march and stuff, too. And back to base,
We get that eagle blow up an anchor, and then the next day, you get that warrior's breakfast, son. You wake up, they bring you because now you're a Marine, you got a lot more respect from like you're actually considered a Marine now. You're private or private first class if you graduated with some meritoriously promoted, like your boy, son. But so like it was just so dope. And then I believe the last week or before the Crucible is when we did this wild ass thing like for a PT test. So I was 0.1 away from becoming the Iron Man for the whole shit. Because I banged out, I beat the guy in pull ups and crunches in the amount of time, and he just beat me. He got like 17 something. It is 3 mile run, 3.5 mile run, and I got 18.01. If I would have got 18, since I beat him and everything else, I would have been Iron Man. But whatever. Sick. So it was just, it was fire. And then and then like you get that warrior's breakfast where you eat the most immaculate. And then you sit there, the drill instructors come in, the kill hats talk to you, like you get to know them as humans. Then your parents come like later on and like for the thing, and you're walking around the base with them, and like they talk to you know, and you're like, obviously you're not fucking around, but like you're now Marines, you know what I mean? And then after that
you can feel the respect like walking around, because you kind of have like, you're like,
Or like you'll see like recruits, Yeah, you'll see recruits are like just in or a month in or 2 months in, and
yeah, you're like,
oh, it's okay, wild too because like the first month you can see how shitty everyone looks. It's obvious. Like the no one is was blousing their boot. Like they just looked horrible, rolling the sleeves, which I don't think they do any of that anymore. But like all that, and once you it's like it was wild to see. Even writing letters, I would start speaking differently with this. You know, even the first week, I was calling my mom and dad like I don't even know. But then obviously quickly. I mean, I went home for fucking 2 weeks and did blow and got myself kicked out of it like a year later. So it was like, really, how much really changed? But it was insanely amazing. And then after that, like I just said, I went home for a little bit because I was able to stay out longer on leave because I was infantry. So like other kids only got 10 days, whatever that job was. They got 10 days, but I got like 2 weeks because I was going infantry. So like, we're going to give you a little more. So I went to my recruiter and we were chilling. It's cool ass dude. We were chilling, and then, you know, I did a stupid thing. Then we go back, and now I'm in ITB, Infantry Training Battalion, where it's like, this is Infantry Training Battalion. So my MOS was like 0352, I think it was called, where it was like rockets and shit. And I was like, nah, because at first, when I first signed up, I just put infantry option, meaning they owned me, they could put me where the fuck they want with a weapon in my hand. And I gave a fuck about it. And then, but what happened was they got me rockets, and I was like, yeah, rockets are cool, but then I had to learn science and shit. And at the time, I was like, I just want to kill people, son. So I was like, I got to get out of this. Can I get out of this? And they're like, all right, you're short and muscular and pretty strong. Go be a machine gunner. And I was like, bet. So then I started becoming a machine gunner, and that was cool. But then something even happened with that where, like, the 0311 dude just wanted me. He was like, nah. You're not even going to be a machine. After like a week or two, he's like, you don't like this guy who's leading you. Come with me. Like, just come with me. Because they were much cool. And the people we were learning from were just out of war. Like, they were messed up mentally. Yep. It was insanely cool, though. Like, we'd go out into the woods to do some gangster shit, and you'd wake up to a dude just driving like a fucking pickup, blasting Ozzy Osbourne, spraying in the air. Like, I used to kill motherfuckers to this song. Like, it was like it was the coolest thing ITB. You know, and then a couple months in, not even like a month and a half in, you're sitting in class and dude walks in and goes, you or you, someone got someone pregnant, three people. One of you got someone pregnant, one of you did smoke weed, and one of you were doing blow. And I was like, ooh. Like I did one of those, like, asshole, I obviously got you. Like, I was like, what, not me? You know, not me. You know? And then that was it. Like, and I'm not gonna lie, you know what I mean? But what was annoying was when I was getting like discharged, which was the longest process in the world, which you go on legal day. So what was annoying is like how many times people, like the dudes I was cool with, you know, the gunnies and the sergeants that I was, you know, that I was staff sergeants that I was cool with, the dude was like, bro, I'm fucked up right now. I just did a rail out in the woods. I could have helped you. You should have said something. I'm like, damn. Why would I think that? I just came from boot camp where everyone's a god, and then you find out later on, like, yo, boot camp drill instructors like 10% of the Marine Corps. The rest are just, think about it, like, they're lunatics. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, they're not in a bad way. Like, those are the people who do shit for it, you know? So like,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
But then getting discharged was like, we go to legal deck because I was getting on a legal thing, and they had a bunch of deck, medical deck. Well, not saying like you know, but a lot of these kids was like literally trying their hardest to get out. You know what I mean? Trying their hardest. And legal deck just happened to be the most disciplined, in shape deck, for real. Like, the kids that were getting discharged just happened to be the ones that were up early all the time, on time all the time, knew all the Marine hymns and everything, worked out together religiously, like, looked into, like, we were the ones actually still doing things, but we were getting discharged. And all these other kids were there just in a limbo. You know what I mean? Because of whatever. Yeah, because they just didn't want to do Marine stuff. They want to just hang out in a deck all day. And because the Marines that they put in charge of the discharge are like, basically was kind of like purgatory, because not everyone was getting discharged. Some were just there. Were like where they fucked up and they were kind of being punished. They didn't give a shit. Like, people were, because some kids would get a privilege to go out and it still go out because they still had like a year. It was like going to court. You had like a year before you get discharged. So you let them go out sometimes. Mm-hmm. They had trust. They had to build it. They'd bring back some fucking bath salts or some shit if you were getting messed up. But like, yeah, it was wild. And then getting kicked out was insane. And like, I remember, like, too, like, I'm trying to justify, like, you're but then getting on that Greyhound, like, because I was just thinking about this earlier, like, getting on that Greyhound, I felt miserable. And then the first thing I do when I get into town at Hicksville is hit my friend up, I get stoned. And then all I did for like a month to my parents, or even like 2 weeks, 3 weeks before my parents sat me down and were like, yo, what are you doing, dude? I was literally just going out and getting massively banged up. Because I had now like a $2,000 credit limit on a credit card that the Marines gave me, and I used every dollar on top of the like $4,000 that I made in boot camp, which was pretty dope. You get paid in boot camp, we found out.
Yeah, and
you get paid even more if you had a kid or like a wife already. Like, that was cool. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that until like the end. We're like, oh, you get paid for this, too?
Yeah, you know, I was like, oh, shit, look at my bank account.
Yeah,
cool.
But like, yeah, dude, it was dope. But all in all, it was really like one of the most amazing experiences in my life. And, like, it's kind of messing me a little bit. First time I was actually thinking about this in a long time, because when we said we were talking about this, was, like, how it still affects me in the sense that if I'm somewhere and people are like, and any veterans there, because I'm not a veteran. I didn't go to war. You know what I mean? I wasn't in. Yeah. To be a veteran, you're supposed to be in for X amount of months. I wasn't for X amount, a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. So, like, but people are like, oh, you still went through boot camp, achieved that, and still went to some training. Like, yeah. I guess, because apparently, like, not, you know, especially when I went through, like, it was very difficult in the sense, like, nowadays, apparently, they're allowed to call their parents whenever they want, and they don't get hit as much, and all these stupid rules that are going to make Boy Scouts, not Marines, going to war. And,
why
like,
you just go through, because you got to remember, too, I did go through the Army, like, probably a couple years after you went through the Marines. Yeah. When did you go through?
I believe 2011 or 12.
Yeah, see, I didn't go in for another, almost five years.
And I mean,
yeah.
And the Marines is a different
story. But yeah,
it's insane.
What do you think, let's end it with the biggest takeaway from everything for you.
Well, asking the person, the thing, whatever the fuck I am now, it's literally like everything is it's happened already, so now it's just the path we choose. And this path that I happen to be going on is like, I got to experience being a Marine and doing some gangster stuff, and then it messed me up, and it helped bring me to one of the darkest places in my life. Because right after that, then, and what was dope really is me getting kicked out, I was able to spend a year with my uncle before he just randomly passed away out of left. And this was like an uncle that's a brother, not just, no offense to my other uncles if they ever listen to this, but that's just what it is. You know what I mean? So like, between getting kicked out of the Marines was something I thought I was supposed to, my whole life, that's all I thought I was supposed to do. And then that happened, getting kicked out of that. Then that happening, and then the darkest of dark I went to.
Yeah.
So like, it literally just, now you're asking this person now, it showed me like, yeah, just hold on, keep going, and shit can pop if you make it. Like, because, or you look at it in a negative sense, like, what could have been, man? I could have been dead and never hung out with my uncle before he bounced. Or I could have been over there and never met with my uncle before he bounced. You know what I mean? So, like, asking me now, it's like, yo, it's all anyway. It's all planned out. You just got to live it up. You know what I mean? Pick the avenues and then perspective on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's amazing, dog. That's a great thing to take away from it, though. I mean, now it's, and that's the crazy part too, is like realizing it after, right? It, you don't realize it when you're in it. Like, it's always, you know, that's the hard part, is getting through that. But like, then you come through it and you're like, oh damn, like, I can
yeah, man. Yeah, phenomenal stuff. Phenomenal.
There's some Devontae and Lou, good old military times. Yeah, because
if anyone's out there that's in the military and they want to chop it up and talk about things, even if you're in where my position, where like it messes with you, that you maybe got discharged or something like that, whatever, just hit us up about it. Either one of us, I think, would be cool with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I feel you there too. Mine was, you know, medical and stuff, but I feel like I just didn't get the help that I should have got when I was in. Because I loved it. Like, I would have stayed in, dude. Like, I was planning on going to either Hawaii or I was going to get deployed. Like, I was all in it. I was about to be a sergeant and everything. You know, I was making moves in it, and I was getting ready to go to sapper school myself, all this stuff. And then, boom, got hurt. Didn't get any help and kind of just sent me off. Like, all right, we'll go figure it out. But, I mean, hey, like you said, I mean, look at us. We're sitting here. We're now business partners. Exactly. We're making things happen. Like, I don't know. It's just things happen for certain reasons. One door closes, another one opens. But
things are going to happen.
You got anything you want to leave them off with, Lou?
One thing. Yeah, actually I do. So check this out. One quick little finish, right? Just in the perspective of, you know, with germs and current affairs on being, you know, germs and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was in boot camp, I remember one particular time where the heavy was like, yo, Bombardier, you're going to run over to that puddle over there. You're going to put your face in it, and you're going to take a huge chunk of mud in your mouth. And when you come back, if your mouth isn't covered with mud and your face wet from that puddle, you're going to get fucked up. So what did I do? I went and did it. You know what happened? I was fine. So don't be scared to touch things in nature, okay? That's how I'm gonna leave that. Don't let them scare you, son. You don't have to sanitize everything. All right? You'll be okay. We made it this far. We've been around for like 65,000 years. We gotta end this because I'm gonna go on a rant. Why'd you do this?
Go touch some nature, people.